Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. My definition of retirement: really tired mentally. Retirement. You can get that in there somewhere. A couple weeks ago or months ago, when Pastor Jimmy asked me if I would be interested in preaching today or speaking today, I struggled, knowing how close this would be to my retirement here at First Baptist Church, as to what to speak about. As many of you know by now, I'm not a great preacher, but I love this church, and I love each of you. We've been here 31 years. August will be 31 years that we moved our family here, and I hadn't regretted a minute of it. This church has helped us in so many different ways, has helped raise our family up, our daughters, our son, and now our grandchildren here at First Baptist Church. So what could I speak on? What could I talk about? Well, 10 years ago today, actually yesterday, June the 10th, I had the privilege to bring my first sermon as the executive pastor here. And that sermon title was, "It's Overtime." Well, any of y'all that know anything about sports in general know that overtime usually doesn't last a long time. Now, there's exceptions. Braves are good about playing baseball games that last till 2 o'clock in the morning or however many innings. But usually it's a sudden death type thing. It's a quick thing. It's the NASCAR, they do one or two more laps around as long as they don't have another wreck. And in football, they have a designated time that they do overtime. And so for the last 10 years, I've been on overtime. Yes, I put in 29 years as a industrial salesperson / manager, and God blessed me tremendously to be able to witness through that opportunity. But then February the 6th, 2007, as many of you recall, God hit me over the head hard in a truck accident in Honduras. When that truck flipped, he said, "Mike, it's overtime. I'm giving you another chance." Several of you in this room right now were on that truck with me that day. He gave us all another chance. Three people on that truck that day went to paradise. The man standing right next to me that I've been talking to seconds before, I'll see again in eternity. But he told me it's overtime. So what this time, 10 years later, is time to assist, was the name of this sermon or talk. But I got scared when I started doing a little research, because Harvard Medical School says that someone that retires is more likely to die of a heart attack than someone that doesn't retire. I said, "Whoo, do I want to retire then?" Matter of fact, the statistics from Harvard say that 80% of men that retire over men that don't retire die of some type of coronary disease. My dad had his first heart attack at 49. I've already got it in my genes, so, you know, did I want to add something else to that? Well, the question is, should Christians pursue retirement, or is it unbiblical? I think that's a good question to ask, and I'm sure others of you have asked that from time to time, including myself, especially after this new revelation of death is imminent for 80% of us that retire. But as Americans, we generally work 30 to 40 years, retire with a nice nest egg, and spend the rest of our time doing what we really want to do when we really want to do it. Is that biblical? Retirement in America has become the quintessential American dream. I started working when I was 13. I pulled my Social Security statement out not too long ago, and that's the first year I paid Social Security taxes, was when I was 13. For those of y'all have been curious, of which I know some of y'all aren't. I will be 60 in September. So I've been working a while. And it's been a question mark in my mind what to do and when to do it. But is retirement something that a Christian should pursue? And does the Bible have anything to say about it? Well, sooner or later, most Christians will ask the question, what does the Bible say about retirement? When I announced my retirement, one of the first things somebody said to me was, Mike, retirement's not in the Bible. I mean, it was that quick. Retirement's not in the Bible. Well, that got my wheels grinding. And so I started doing a quick search of the word retire or retirement in the Bible. And I noticed there weren't a lot of references to retirement in the Bible. Of a lot of those references of the word retire in the Bible, it dealt with things like going to bed, which I love to do. Retiring to bed. Or there was retiring from battle, withdrawing or pulling back, retreating from battle, retiring from that battle. But in the book of Numbers, chapter 8, verses 23 through 26, I found a passage that mentions retirement as withdrawing from labor. God's telling Moses and the Levite priest in the tent of meeting that they must retire. So I'm going to share with you, and I found that specifically in the New International Version. And I know our pastor preaches from the New King James Version. Prior pastor preached from the New International Version, Dr. Gene Tyer. And so my wife gave me this Bible because I didn't have an NIV Bible at the time. Let's see when I hope she gave me this Bible. Let's see. She gave me this Bible December 25th, 1988. So I've used it well, and I've had it redone a couple times, but it's about to fall apart again. But let's read chapter 8, verses 23 through 26 of the book of Numbers. The Lord said to Moses, "This applies to the Levites. Men 25 years old or more shall come to take part in the work at the tent of meeting. But at the age of 50, they must retire from their regular service and work no longer. They may assist their brothers in performing their duties at the tent of meeting, but they themselves must not do the work. This then is how you are to assign the responsibilities of the Levites." The New King James Version of verse 25 says they must cease performing this work and shall work no more. When I was growing up, years ago, the Living Bible came out, which I know is a paraphrase version. It's just, it was, forgive me, Mother, she's sitting here. It was our bathroom reading Bible. It sat in the bathroom, so you had the Bible to read. I mean, yeah, there's a lot worse things you could read when you go to the restroom, but the Living Bible was our bathroom reading Bible. And in that version, it says, 25 and 26, Levites are to retire at age 50. After retirement, they can assist with various light duties in the tabernacle, but will have no regular responsibilities. Well, why were the Levites supposed to retire at age 50? Well, honestly, the reasons were probably more practical than theological. You know, one of the responsibilities of the Levites was to transport and guard the tabernacle. Well, for those of y'all that's done any research on what the tabernacle was, it was a heavy tent with furniture and other belongings that had to be moved from place to place. And after 50, I am man enough to admit, I want younger people doing the lifting. One day last week, they came to move the piano from the historic sanctuary over here. If y'all haven't noticed, we have dueling pianos over here right now. They've been butterflied together. But we paid somebody to move that piano, and I didn't lift a finger. I did open the door for them, but that was about as far as I did because they were younger people that could move such a heavy piano. So the Levites at 50 were told to retire so the younger Levites could come in, be trained to move the heavy equipment. So basically what's going on here is They had an opportunity to retire, but they still had an opportunity for light duty, as I'd call it, for guarding the tabernacle and for staying with the younger guys. This would allow the older Levites to stay with those younger Levites and offer them wisdom, wise counsel, advice. First Baptist Church, for those of us that have a little bit of gray, or a lot of gray, or no hair, we need to hang in there with our younger people. We need to walk beside our younger people, offering them wise counsel, being a mentor to the men and women that are coming up in our church. They're starving for it. They're asking for it. And we as an older generation need to be walking beside them and working with them. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, you know, Mike, we're New Testament Christians now. That was Old Testament. And we don't live in the Old Testament under the law anymore. So I don't have to retire at age 50. No, you don't. But the wisdom of God's message regarding the ending of regular work is still valuable and still can be helpful in our lives today. Guess who created work? God created work. And He put you in your place of calling. And your job that you have is your divine calling. And don't let anybody tell you any differently. Whatever He's called you to do. But at some point, you're going to think about and probably step away from doing your regular work. Either you're going to do it by retiring, or you're going to do it when they close the lid. But eventually, you're going to stop doing your regular work. The word work in Numbers chapter 8 is as in work no longer. It's the same word used to describe the daily labor in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, which declares the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. In the context of Genesis 2:15, the work of Adam and Eve's tilling of the ground in the garden and all other occupations, including serving in the tent of meeting or whatever your occupation is that you do as a career, is what God's people can someday retire from. As far as I know, there's no other mention of retirement as far as ceasing work in the Bible. But does that mean we should throw out the notion of retirement just because it's not there? I don't think so. But God's Word does have a lot to say about rest. On the seventh day of creation, guess who rested? From His labor, it says. God instituted a day of rest in the Ten Commandments. And we certainly see Jesus resting and withdrawing from His work often to get refreshed. I'm man enough to stand here and admit to you today that's something I didn't do enough of. About a month ago, or maybe a little longer, a mentor of mine came in my office, sat down, and we had a chance just to chat. And after we got through chatting, he said, "Mike, you're not retiring. You're burnt out. Because I didn't refresh myself. I didn't take the time to refresh myself, to be ready to keep doing the job God had called me to. And I apologize, church, for that." But be sensitive to your staff going forward. Be sensitive to the fact that even though you may not see them but once a week on Sundays, there's a lot going on Monday through Sunday at this church that your staff does that you never know of. But is this rest that I'm talking about retirement? Doesn't seem like it. The Bible typically refers to rest as a temporary rest, to be re-energized and then go back to work. So once again, the Bible seems pretty silent on the issue of retirement. But I got to thinking, you know, there's two heroes of mine in the Bible, the Apostle Paul and Peter, and just wondered if maybe they had a conversation one day. And maybe I could hear Peter say, you know, I've been making tents for the last 30 years, and I've been called a tent maker before. And Paul may say, my back's killing me after 30 years, and I got to get out of this business. And Peter looked at him and said, your back's killing you. Try pulling a giant fishing net over the boat every day. My dad made me start helping catching fish when I was 12 years old. 50 years of catching fish has caught up with me for sure. And Paul replied, yeah, I wouldn't mind taking my pension early and getting a nice little place on the Mediterranean. Then, of course, Peter came back and said, I hear you. Jerusalem for the summer and Greece for the winter. Wouldn't that be the life? But, you know, of course, there's no evidence of any such conversation in the Bible. In fact, I'd be willing to guess that retirement to a guy like the Apostle Paul never even came up into his mind. He never wanted to burden anybody. He never wanted to put anything, any barriers that would hurt the possibility for him sharing the gospel. Should we take the Bible silence to mean that most people worked until they were physically unable to? Or that the Bible is not concerned about retirement? I don't think so. But usually when the Bible is silent about a particular topic, it gives us the opportunity to form our own opinion and conviction on an issue. So now let's look at retirement defined and redefined. Y'all know I've shared many times I love the encyclopedia and the dictionary, and Webster says that retirement is a withdrawal from one's position or occupation or from active working life. Unfortunately, many people often think and define retirement as quitting work altogether and not doing anything. I had a grandfather that retired from General Motors. And one of the things I remember about his retirement was every day at 11 o'clock, he was sitting in front of the TV watching The Price is Right and fussing about who's doing what and what they're bidding and what they're not bidding. And I can imagine that my retirement probably won't be sitting in front of the TV at 11 o'clock watching Drew Carey and complain about how he messed up The Price is Right. That's not retirement. That's not retirement at all. There's basically three retirement types, if we boil it down to the basics. Number one, my timers. Retirement is my time. You ever heard anybody say that? They do what they want, when they want, and who they want to do it with. They think retirement is a time to finally live for themselves. And then there's no timers. I've got no time to do anything because I'm so busy. Is the creed they live by what they should live by? They fill their schedules with all kinds of busyness, running all kinds of errands, and doing anything to get away from having to do anything. And then there's the give timers. How can I help? Where can I volunteer? These are questions that the give timers will ask. They view retirement as an opportunity to serve others. I embarrassed the gentleman in the early service, and I'm going to do it again in this service because he's not here this time. The other day, I was visiting one of our ladies in the hospital and had a prayer with her and got ready to leave, and she said, Mike, aren't you going to give me a hug? She said, Bob Slay always gives me a hug. You know, we have people in our congregation that do things behind the scenes that most people have no clue about. Bob's in the homes of our shut-ins daily, visiting in the hospitals daily. And recently, when I did a funeral for Miss Daisy Warren, he was sitting there. He knows what it means to be a gift timer. And I know many of you do also. You can see the difference among these three types. The first two are selfish with their time, their energy, their resources, and they think that retirement is all about their enjoyment. But the last one's got it from a biblical perspective, that their time, their talents, their energy and resources are a gift from God, and they should be used to serve and bless others. And here's what's ironic about gift timers. Living that way is about enjoyment. They enjoy being a blessing to others. Looking back at that passage, if you look at verse 26, it says, "The retired Levites may assist their brothers in performing their duties." To assist means to help, to guard, to attend others. To retire from work opens the door to a new and different way to serve God and to serve others. I don't believe there's a place in Scripture that suggests that we should retire from doing the Lord's work. I don't believe that. However, there are definitely different seasons of life, and we should prepare for the different changes that take place in that process. For us to quit altogether is bad, but to hang on to something that we're no longer able to do is also not good. I think the Bible's pretty clear that we're all called to serve others and to love them as ourselves. And this also includes during retirement. In fact, I'd say it's especially during retirement because we don't have the employment constraints that we have to work around. C.S. Lewis has a quote, "You're never too old to set another goal or to dream a new dream." You're never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream. Let's redefine retirement real quick. Perhaps it's time to rethink and redefine exactly what retirement is from a Christian perspective. Instead of thinking, "I can't wait to retire so I can relax and play a million rounds of golf with my buddies or buy that winter home that I've always wanted," we should think about things like community outreach, church ministry, volunteering. And of course, Miss Carol Felkner, I'm not sure that she's here today. There she is. She came to this church as a sweetheart and saying, "I didn't start doing mission trips till what age?" 76. Did you hear that? It's not too late. But are golf and relaxing or winter homes evil in and of themselves? No. By all means, enjoy these things. But I want to suggest to you that we don't have to view them as the prize, because Jesus is the prize. I want you to see that retirement frees up possibility for endless opportunities for serving in the kingdom. And we should ask God to help us and permit us, as long as we're capable, to continue serving Him. So what does this mean for you and me? For holding on to retirement dreams and goals as an idol, this means we probably need to have a heart-to-heart conversation with God. It's not wrong to desire retirement enjoyment and do things you've always wanted to do, but this may mean we need to reevaluate our motivations. In my opinion, what we often fail to realize is there will be rewards in heaven for what we do here on earth. And we should be about maximizing our joy, both here and especially there. A Christian may retire from their job or career anytime they choose to do so. However, a Christian never retires from serving God. Retirement only means that it's time for a new adventure. The Bible never encourages Christians to retire from serving God. No, you remember a young man that lived to be an old age? His name was Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 29, it tells us that Joshua was 110 years old. But one of the most famous passages that Joshua ever wrote was in that chapter when he said, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Now, just a few verses before that, before he passed away, he wrote that. So we have to believe he was 110 years old or there, very close. And he was still saying at 110, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Shouldn't we be doing that at age 60? It's time to assist. I believe my best years of Christian service still lie ahead. I'm not as good at acronyms as Jimmy is, but I came up with an acronym for the word assist. And it probably won't show up too well on the screen, but I'll try to say it slowly. The A stands for always. Always. Don't look back. S, serve. Always serve. The second S, selflessly. Oh, that's so un-American today. Always serve selflessly. In shaping tomorrow. Folks, you have a chance. You have an opportunity to help shape the future. Tomorrow we start Vacation Bible School. Many people will be assisting, and you have that opportunity. Will you allow God to use your God-given wisdom, knowledge, abilities, leadership, commitment, time, and availability to serve Him? Serve Him here at First Baptist as a true prayer warrior, as a mentor to young men and women. Volunteer for local, state, regional, domestic, or foreign missions. Never yield to the temptation of retiring from serving God. You're needed and you're wanted in His service. Even though we may retire, this does not mean the Great Commission no longer applies to any of us. Your best years of Christian service may still lie ahead. It's time to assist. Let's blaze a new trail. A new trail that redeems retirement. And I hope you can say with me, Lord, help me to be active. Active for you as long as my health will permit. But also not try to do something I'm no longer capable of doing. You know, it's been a interesting, tiring, fun at times, 10 years as executive pastor. But as I said earlier, the best is yet to come. You are my church family. This will always be my church home. And even though there may be times I don't serve standing beside you, I may be serving somewhere else. We should be linked arm in arm in kingdom business, leading people to our Lord and Savior. I'm not naive enough to think that everyone here at First Baptist Church sitting in this room has a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not naive enough to think that everybody sitting here doesn't have personal decisions they need to make about serving Him. There may even be things that you've been dealing with in your life that you know God wants you to do. Whether it's joining our church, becoming part of our faith family, working in Vacation Bible School, Susan could find a place for you. Serving at the AO house, we're open 3 days a week. We need to be open 4 or 5. Helping at the front door ministry. You don't understand how effective you could be if you let God use you. Let today be the day that the decision that you've been postponing, the decision you've been needing to make, is made today. As we stand and turn to our hymn of invitation, hymn number 591. I'm going to have a prayer before we start singing. We'll just give you a chance to get up, get your hymnal, be ready to sing. If you don't want a hymnal, the words are up here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your love of each of us. Thank you for your leadership to know that you have a plan for all of us at whatever season of life you've led us to. Now I pray, Lord, that we open our hearts to your decisions. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.